Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grovecast needs your support, so please head over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast to find out what cool stuff you get for as little as 17 cents a day. Yes, only 17 cents a day gets you some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for your support. Listening to Walnut Grovecast. Today I have the honor of speaking with Amy Foster, who's the director of the Laura Ingalls Wilder Museum. And I'm really honored to have you take the time to speak with me today in the middle of all of your snow. Please welcome to the show, Amy Foster. How are you?
Thank you very much, Mark. I am good today. A little chilled. It's 31 below here in Walnut Grove this morning.
Oy. Yeah, we had a little bit of cold last week here in New York, but yeah, I mean, come on, that's pretty insane, and it kind of gives us a glimpse into how the winters were in the 1870s, right?
Oh, exactly. I can't imagine.
Did you grow up there?
I did. I grew up in Walnut Grove, went away to college, and then came back and started my family. And then started here at the museum in 1999.
Oh, nice. Oh, so you have your hands on all of the cool modern stuff, I guess, that has been happening with the museum. Wanted to mention, so the museum itself, if you could talk a little bit about that, kind of how it came to be, who's behind it, and all of that good stuff, you know?
Okay. The museum started in 1974. And it was the same year as the TV series. Basically, the TV series really kicked off our museum. It was kind of one of those, you know, they're coming, now we need to build something. People
nice.
Were coming to Walnut Grove and going out to the Ingalls dugout site where their home had been along Plum Creek. And the family that lived out there just couldn't handle the influx of visitors and said, we need help. We can't just be standing at our kitchen door talking to all these visitors. We need something for them, basically.
Right.
And thanks to the Gordon family, who own the property and still do, and the community of Walnut Grove and different volunteers, they started the museum.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, we'll be celebrating our 45th anniversary now this summer.
I love the whole idea that a TV show, based on fact, of course, dramatized, it launched kind of, I mean, it was already well known. Right. I mean, the books did well in their original release, and then they were kind of popular.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the early 70s, kind of launching this, you know, they're coming. You know, people want to check this stuff out.
Exactly. There's so many few books, especially, you know, back in the 70s that were based on an actual person, a location. So people were coming to see, OK, where did this girl really grow up? What bank of Plum Creek, you know, are we talking about here? And it was neat. I was very young at that time, so didn't really realize it, but late 70s, early 80s, I remember the museum and people coming to visit, and it was crazy for our little small town.
That's really great. And what type of staff do you have there?
During the summer season, we are usually at between 7 and 8 staff members. Mm-hmm. During the winter season now, there's normally just the three of us that are here.
Right. And are you guys open year-round?
We keep the gift store open year-round because we're always in the office working on the next summer's projects, new displays, things like that. But the buildings are open April through October. None of us really care to do that much shoveling every single day. So winter months, it's a little quiet.
Now, when the show went off the air in the late 70s, early 80s.
Right.
I mean, the show always remained kind of in syndication, you know, in rerun. It was always kind of around, at least from my perspective. And was there ever a real lull, or has the popularity been fairly consistent?
The popularity, you know, was huge in the 80s, late 80s, 86, 88, in there. Our attendance in the summertime was wonderful. It has since dropped. The TV show, like you said, is still in syndication. It's worldwide, which, again, is crazy. Mm-hmm. We have visitors usually every year from at least 35 to 40 foreign countries that come to Walnut Grove specifically because of the books and the TV series, which, you know, is amazing. I love that.
I spoke to Allison Arngrim several months ago, and she was saying mm-hmm. how in France there's this new, you know, Little House on the Prairie thing. It's like, it's basically what they do. They take a siesta and watch a Little House on the Prairie during the day. And, you know, I really love that. I love the fact that, you know, the French people have embraced 19th century American culture in a lot of ways, you know?
Yeah, it's huge. I know the several actors went over there for their 40th anniversary. Allison goes all the time. Mm-hmm. It's crazy over there. There's so many fans, and it's wonderful too when we have them come back here and visit us as well, and they've seen Allison in France, and then they come to Walnut Grove. So it's crazy.
Now, your modern person's of course going to go, all right, it was a TV show, and then you have to kind of remind them, hey, these were books first. And I know that there's two different sides of the room in a lot of ways. You know, there are the book people, and there's the TV people, and I think that sometimes they do connect, but there are people who are committed to one or the other. And do you ever get a clash of people who are like, well, let's get, you know, real about historical discussions?
You do. You know? We'll be in the gift store perhaps and talking about, they'll ask about, you know, so, okay, what happened to Mary? And, you know, one will speak of, well, yeah, you know, after the blind school and Mary and her husband Adam, you know, then they went to blah, 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 and they go on and on from the TV series. Right. And then a book fan will come up and say, no, 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 you know, and they'll come back. So we kind of sneak in the middle and say, okay, here's the deal. This is the books. This is the TV.
Right.
99% different, but still both really good. And they're what put us on the map. The Real Laura was here, but the TV show, having it based in Walnut Grove, really put us on the map. And what's fun in our museum, too, is that we can explain both sides because we have both sets of fans, like you said, coming to Walnut Grove specifically for their reason only. And that's one of the things, too, now with the 45th anniversary this year, we're really showcasing the TV series this year and expanding our displays because that's what the fans there are looking for.
Well, on that topic,
so it's going to be fun.
On that topic, you're going to be doing a cast reunion again, right?
Yes, we are.
That's awesome. I mean, just, you know, from the perspective of a fan of the TV show, you know, I just think that them coming together, because they do seem like there's a certain kinship between them, and I just love the fact that you host that.
It is so fun when they're here because they are like, almost like, you know, they were family, but now they're like cousins that you don't see as often as you want to. But when you do, you can quickly catch up, and that memory of childhood for most of them, you know, is right back there again. They remember doing things on the set and Michael Landon goofing around, and it's fun. It's so fun.
And the date for that is July 11th through the 14th in 2019. And, you know, people have a good, you know, 6 months to prepare for this. You know, if they want to take a trek to Walnut Grove, I would love to do it. I really have to just bust out a map and see if it's feasible. If not this year, maybe in the near future. But I know that from what I understand, it's just a really great time and just something that is a really, really rewarding experience if you're a fan of either the books or the TV show.
It is. And the cast is so great and so friendly. And the visitors just love them, and they love the visitors. They extend their autograph sessions sometimes just to get through the whole crowd, and we do Q&A with them at our outdoor play, and the questions that the visitors come up with sometimes can be very personal or just hilarious, and the whole cast just goes off, and they're back, you know, back in 79, remembering that flashback of that moment when that one scene happened. It is just fun to see them giggle like kids and remember those times. And it's like having your own personal childhood memory, but a million people saw you do that childhood memory.
Right.
And remind you of it very often.
You know, when I was growing up, it was, I talk about this all the time. People are going to roll their eyes and say, oh, he's going to talk about how he used to secretly watch Little House on the Prairie. But that's how I would watch it. It wasn't a boys' show. And
it was, and
I would secretly come home, put on Channel 11 at 5 o'clock to 6 every day religiously.
There you go.
And
yeah,
I found out later.
Still do it today.
I found out later that all of my male friends were pretty much not to be found because they were all doing the same thing. So it's just
great.
Hilarious.
So for everybody, you know, you had the girl and boy characters that were quite strong. Doing their different adventures and working together. And I grew up in Walnut Grove watching my town, quote unquote, on TV. Unfortunately, we don't look a lot like the TV Walnut Grove.
Right.
But
thankfully, you need an infrastructure.
Yeah. we're pretty flat out here. No mountains, unfortunately, like the show had.
Right. Which, of course, it's in Cine Valley, so... can't really avoid it too much, but it's like, that looks more like
and
the Rockies.
Yeah. We get a lot of visitors, looking for those mountains, and not realizing that no, it was all filmed in California. Unfortunately, Michael never made it to Walnut Grove.
It's called a prairie for a reason.
Yeah. It's a flat prairie where you can see, you know, a town 30 miles away by the lights sometimes on a good night. So
yeah, that's a good thing too.
Yeah. Yes.
I love that. So when people come to the museum, what artifacts are there that they can expect to find from the author, from the aspect of the original artifacts and also artifacts from the TV show?
You know, it's for the real Laura, unfortunately, it's minimal. We have a quilt and a sewing basket on display that were owned by Laura. But of course, when the family left here when Laura was about 11, everything went with them.
Mm-hmm.
So there weren't artifacts left behind. These are items that we've acquired later on in years.
But still, those are very personal items. Those are nice.
They're very personal items and lots of pictures. And our big thing in the museum, too, is trying to tell that story so you can open up On the Banks of Plum Creek. And she talks about Nellie and Johnny Johnson. So we have pictures of those real people because they were real here in Walnut Grove. So we kind of wrap up that story and the whole church scene and what was really happening with that. With the TV side, it's been great. We showed tons and tons of pictures from the TV series. And just recently, we were able to acquire a few more props from the TV series.
That's awesome.
We're really excited. We just purchased the actual fiddle that Michael Landon held and fake played on the TV series. That should be here hopefully in the next couple weeks.
That's awesome.
And that was great. And then a set of clothing from Mr. Edwards, one of his hats, shirts, and boots.
Wow.
These items were all owned by Melissa Gilbert, and we just acquired them through auction. And then there's another print picture that we just received after the last filming of the final episode. The whole cast and crew together on scene with covered wagons and everything. And there's some autographs on that from family and friends from the TV series too, Melissa.
Wow.
And that too should be here this week. So quite a few different little props like that. Again, a lot of pictures and a lot of pictures and things from when the stars have been here over the years.
You know,
they've been attending Walnut Grove for over 20 years.
No, the stuff's just not out there. You know, like you can't just go and find a collection of these type of things. So it's really nice that you're putting this collection together. And, I think that they're important artifacts, and especially the Paz fiddle. I think I read about that, how you guys had acquired that. And, I just think stuff like that is just so important to preserve the not just the history, but also the legacy and the movement that, I guess, to remind everyone how big the show really was and what an impact it's really made.
Right. And like you say, we're celebrating 45 years, and you can go up to many people and mention the name. I've been in Europe, and you mention, they're like, Little House? Like, Little House Laura? And I'm like, yeah, that's where I live. And they know exactly what you're talking about. It's so
fun. Do you have
fun.
A mercantile?
Yeah, that's what they ask right away. Well, where do Olsons live? Are they still there? Or, you know, things like that. And we had Melissa Gilbert show up here several years ago when she was in the Twin Cities doing the musical Little House on the Prairie. And she surprised us, showed up one day,
wow.
And we took her in the museum and showed her some of our props and things. And one of our huge features from the TV side is the mantle from the original set.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, and she had no idea what had happened to it. And we explained, you know, this is the actual. And, you know, she teared up and she touched it. And she's like, I was at this every day. I, you know, Michael and Karen and everybody, we've all, you know, been a part of this mantle. It's part of our home. So that was touching to see her see that and just a flashback to that little girl going, wow, that's, you know, that's it. And so, yeah, it's been fun having the stars here. And they're just so down to earth and fun. And they enjoyed their time on the show as well.
Mm. So where does most of the collection that you have come from? Are there donations? Do you purchase?
Yep. Both. Many items have been donated, especially local pioneer type items have come from the local community since the very beginning. Many items now, too, as we've been able to raise funds through admissions or donations, have been purchased. Sometimes it's eBay. Sometimes it's an auction company like these last purchases. And sometimes we'll get somebody to call that will call and say, hey, my grandma worked on the set as, you know, makeup lady or something like that, and she has such and such. Those are priceless to get.
And they're all out there. That's the thing. They were like tucked away and forgotten.
Exactly. And trying to get everyone to remember that, hey, we're here, and, you know, why purchase it for yourself and hide it in your nice little Laura display? At least here, everybody can see it. And now thousands will see it every year and enjoy it and share that memory just like you did. And Melissa Gilbert's little red dress from the show was up for auction, and we just did not have the funds to purchase that. And it's, again, it would have been a huge display to be, you know, on our walls for everyone to see.
Now, is that maybe something someday that was purchased by a private person, or do you guys have competition?
Yeah, we do. And a lot of private people like to purchase those items. We have no idea who got the dress. I was bidding up until the last moment as I could, and I had to let it go. And we have no idea who has that. And maybe someday they'll knock on our door and say, hey, would you like to display it for a while or something? We'll see.
You know,
we'll see what happens.
I'm on Long Island in New York, and basically like 20 minutes away, we have the Museum of the Moving Image. And I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to go there, but if you're ever in New York, you should really just kind of hit it up for a number of reasons. One being, I don't know if you're a Marx Brothers fan, but I think two or three of their films were actually filmed there. And
It
was a studio back then. Now it's a museum. And they have these displays, you know, like they have different costumes from different TV shows and movies, like Seinfeld and all this kind of stuff. And you go in there, and it's something you don't think about, you know. But when you're in the same presence with something as simple as, you know, Kramer's outfit or something like that, it's really striking in a lot of ways, because it really does carry a certain power, or it signifies the importance of it. And I think that you having that mantle, which is, I don't think people give it enough credit in a lot of ways, because if you were to start drawing the Ingalls kitchen or Eden kitchen, the first thing you're going to draw is probably that mantle. We
exactly.
all know what it looks like. You know, you mentioned it. We know exactly what it looks like. And, you know, it's just it's really important, and it's really nice to hear that you are, you know, building a collection as well. But the fiddle blows me away, because that's something that everybody was just smiling when they watched. You know, it's really, and it was also something that was in possession of Michael Landon, the super beloved, you know, guy with no shirt on. But
yeah, exactly. No, we are very excited about that one, and we can't wait to get it in our little paws. It's going to be great, and we're already working on how to display it so everybody can see it well and be protected. And it's fun. And then these, like we said too, yeah, these items come up so very few, and you don't always hear about them. You know, yeah, we're always looking for donations and funds or sponsorships so we can keep purchasing these items when they do appear, because it's kind of out of the blue. And okay, now you need $10,000 cash just to jump in on these auctions. That's not something we always have available here.
Sure.
We have eight buildings, so we're trying to keep those up all the time, shingling, roofing, painting. You know, there's a lot of expense that way too, but you got to have the inside stuff too to make it worth it. And hopefully we do. Hopefully the visitors enjoy what we have.
And that's another question I have. It seems as though the museum is directly connected to a number of different renovations and different types of, like the renovations on the master store and hall building.
Yes.
So what other projects, I guess, are associated with the museum and, kind of like if you could share like what you're doing and, I don't know if, even if you have, an area where people can donate, I mean, even if people are listening and they're like, you know what, I can send $10 to their favorite museum, you know, it's like that carries like, they have an obsession for Little House so much that they listen to a podcast. So they may as well send, you know, $5 or $10 their, you know, your way.
Right. That is great. You know, we just finished some major projects. One of our buildings was sided and new windows and everything. So now that one's done. The master's store in a hall, that is one that's been put on hold due to lack of funding. Unfortunately, we have the building gutted. It is a building from Laura's time. Laura writes that Pa helped build the structure.
Wow.
We were able to find square nails up in the roof when we replaced the shingles.
I see the photos of them. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're awesome. And yeah, donating $5, $10, anything like that is great. Larger donations, we have kind of an incentive. You actually receive one of the square nails from the structure, you know, as a keepsake for your donation. We've also got another building on our east side that was the local lumber yard back in the early 1900s. And that building we are renovating, and we'll have one room open this summer to expand our TV series displays. So that one large room will be open, and more pictures, more memorabilia and things over there as well as what's currently out on our grounds. So there's always projects we're raising money for. You know, we've been saving up for masters, but then these unique fiddle, clothing, picture came up for auction. It's a once in a lifetime chance. So again, we had to reappropriate funds to go to this part of it versus continuing with that masters as well. So, you know, it gets tight, but you got to do what you got to do today. And like I said, we're very excited with these purchases. But again, that slows down another process for another plan here. Sometimes.
Yeah, you save up X amount of dollars. Something comes up, it's gone. No, it's
right, right. And you always want to have that extra kitty of funds sitting there for these emergency purchases and things that, again, you got to have them. They need to be here for everyone to see. All part of that show.
What about the Plum Creek Campground? How are you guys?
Beautiful little campground.
You know, so it's a regular campground, you know, like scouts could go there or.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Half the park is seasonal sites. So there's campers out there all winter long, just sitting in, you know, in storage and then they're fully equipped with everything, you know, from owners. And then the other half is open for rentals. Campers, tents, can be out there. It's right next to Lake Laura, which is a man-made lake. Beautiful area out there. You can go canoeing, paddle boating, and swimming, fishing. And that's only a mile and a half from the museum, which is really nice.
Well, that's awesome. It just sounds like you're also very passionate about it, which I appreciate a lot. Is everyone on the staff a fan of the show for the most part? Or do they also get into like the... Well, I lean more towards the books.
And we do. You know, I grew up here in Walnut Grove, so I knew the real stuff. But I was also watching TV once a week, you know, learning the other side of it. So for me, it's really fun when visitors come in and they're strictly like a TV person. I can flash back to those episodes and say, yep, yep, but this is what really happened later, or, oh, yes, then, yes, she married him and blah, blah, blah.
I love that. Yeah.
But again, by reading the books and being trying to keep current with all the latest books, too, about Laura, and I can also share that information, you know, no, but in real life, this is what was going on. And staff is really good at that, too. We've got some of the younger generation working with us that they're strictly by the books. That's what they know. They didn't catch the reruns. They're, you know, way too young for the show itself. So they can focus more on that. There's some that are a little bit older than myself. And again, they did the books a little bit, and then their children were watching the TV series. Mm-hmm. So they understand that part of it, too. So it's fun, especially when you work with somebody that's maybe 18 years old and they never caught the show. They're just like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, but I know in the books it said. I'm like, yep, yep, you're right, you're right.
My wife hates 19th century anything. It's like a struggle. And it's like something like she won't even go into like an antique store. And my son is exactly like I am. He loves the past. He loves, you know, older things. And he's 10 years old. So whenever we're talking about, because on this podcast also, we'll choose an episode and we'll just basically discuss it, you know, and then Basically have a fun, it's almost like, you know, you're watching a show with a friend of yours, you know, and so before we do that, of course, I have to watch the show because it's the last time I saw it was years and years ago. And I just need to refresh myself, and I'll always force my son to kind of sit there. And, so he's been watching them, and, it's just really funny. I even got my wife to like it a little bit. So It's just really funny because, you know, as a 10-year-old, for him to even have the patience to sit there for 45 minutes-ish And watch it is, I think it's a pretty good thing.
It is. My mom is starting to reshow them to my nieces.
Oh, nice.
Who range in age from, you know, like 6 to 13. And they're just loving it. And that's their big thing when they go to grandma's for a sleepover. How many episodes can we get in tonight, grandma?
Nice.
You know, and she loves it too because, again, she watched it with me growing up.
So do you have any favorite specific parts of the museum personally?
I guess I kind of favor a little bit on the real side of Laura a little bit, just because when the Ingalls family were moving here, my ancestors were also moving here.
Oh, wow.
So I kind of can share in that a little
bit. That's really cool. That's great. That's really, you know, it's nice to have that type of legacy, you know, in a town like that. That's really nice.
Yeah. And when you look at the era, it's like, okay, Laura was doing this. Well, then my great grandma was probably doing that, You know, and you just kind of relate it that way a little bit. But again, I grew up on the TV show even more. In Walnut Grove, the second grade teacher always read the book. And then we walked down to the museum. That was something that she did her whole career. And they've continued that on now with the next series of teachers. So again, we started off, you know, by 7, 8 years old. We knew what Little House was about, and we knew Walnut Grove was an important part of that. So that's a memory, too, that I'll always have, learning, you know, both sides. But
do you think you're a lifer to Walnut Grove?
Probably.
Yeah. I don't think there's any shame in saying it either, because I'm a New Yorker.
No,
but I tried to escape, but it pulled me back.
Yeah. No, I've been in the big city, and I truly adore that as well, too, and miss some of those conveniences out here. I mean, our population is 781.
Wow.
That's it. The whole town. But it's a small town where you can know a majority of your neighbors. You wave at them. You talk to them. They know who you are. If something's going on and there's an odd car, you know that you need to ask them. And
sure.
I love that. It isn't like, you know, kind of what you have out there. You know everybody here, and they stop in at the store here and ask you questions about something else in town. And it's fun to be a part of that community and committees and keep your town going and alive, because again, small towns are getting smaller all the time.
Yeah, I mean, what you're even describing seems like an impossibility to me. And, you know, I mean, I live in a very populated area of Long Island. And, you know, I'm like 20 miles away from Manhattan. And it's just, it really, you know, I could walk to Queens. And it's just one of those things where I think it sounds great, actually. I love that.
It is. Like, it is. You know everybody, and you know their mom. And, yeah. You just, you kind of know everybody. There's an ambulance call. Everybody's wondering, uh-oh, who was it? What house did they go to? Because you know that person.
Right.
You kind of worry about everybody because you're all kind of one big family to some degree.
Do you guys have a Harriet? No, it sounds like a show. You know,
we have.
There's probably one lady. You know,
every town has it.
It's so fun. So I always have to ask the goofy question about, not really goofy, but do you think there's any hauntings or any type of remnants on a spiritual or esoteric level? And you don't have to answer.
You know, we've never really noticed anything here like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once in a while there'll be a bump or a book that falls off a shelf or something, and we're like, okay, why is Laura mad now? But more comical than really thinking it. You know, yeah, I know even in Southwest Minnesota here, there are several places where people feel the hauntings and reminiscence of, you know, lives before. I really have never found that here.
Good. That's a good thing, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of works for me.
Although, you know, they do have people tend to travel thousands of miles for a haunted place. So, you know, it's...
That is very true.
But people, you know, they also travel thousands of miles to just get to stand in this museum, which I just know so many people who have traveled to be there, especially for the reunion. Another thing with the reunion that I thought was really, really cute was the Lori Nelly lookalike contest.
Laura Nelly lookalike contest, yes. It's two separate contests. You know, we'll get maybe 5 Nellies, and of course everybody else wants to be Laura, maybe 25 Lauras on a given Saturday.
Really? I would think Nelly would be the, you know, she's...
It'd be more
Nelly's a little
fun,
tougher. Yeah, she's... everybody, you know, it's Coke and Pepsi, I guess. You have to make a choice, right?
It is. It is. But yeah, no, it's fun. And they do a series of questions with them from the books, seeing what they remember, what they know. And then they do a little skit, like the just one Laura and one Nelly would do a little quick skit that they read and see if you can get any attitude out of either of them. And the costumes some of these girls come in is just amazing. You'd swear it was Melissa Gilbert and Allison Arngrim standing in front of you sometimes.
That's awesome. Because
you're just like, wow. And they come from all over. We've had a couple of girls, I think it was from Australia, that have won. It's rare that they're from the state of Minnesota. Very rare.
And that's going to take place on July 6th, 13th, and 20th. So it's in the same time, sort of, as the reunion. I call it a reunion tour. They should go on tour. And
they should.
And, you know, kind of like the Osmonds or something.
Yeah, there you go.
But, yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's a really great, like, kind of week where you guys kind of get out. I also like the fact that you do represent the history very well. I feel as though history is the number one thing. The TV stuff is fun, and it's great, and it brings awareness. But, yeah, I mean, backing it up with the facts and the actual history, so it's a really wonderful thing that you're doing.
You got to have that part. You know, that is why we're really here, is the real Laura. And what's fun, too, is many of the actors have done their research. Allison, I know, has extensively, to find out, you know, where did the real Nelly end up and how did she end up, and siblings. And I know she's even talked to some of the extended family over time. And that's fun to see, too, that she cared that much and was that interested, because it was a huge part of her childhood.
Mm-hmm.
To see, you know, what is going on with that and who was this real person. And so that's fun to see, too, because they'll talk with the visitor and say, oh, no, but see, the real Nelly did this. And Allison knows a little bit more than even I do on the real Nelly and what happened. So that's fun, too.
And Dean Butler has actually made documentaries about it.
So. Yes. Beautiful documentaries that we actually have for sale on DVD.
Oh, nice.
He's been to New York, and he came one kind of late fall to Walnut Grove and did some filming. My daughter has a 12-second little clip on one of his DVDs.
Oh, wow. That's
portraying
cute.
A little. Yeah.
That's like, you know, so, yeah, I think that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, she loves it, you know. And they're out on Plum Creek freezing, and it, you know, it was just fall. And again, thinking of those hardships of, the wind is blowing and it's harsh. I mean, that's here right now. Last night and this morning, now we had winds 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, you said, like, if I don't answer, I didn't make it into work.
Yeah.
And I'm picturing in my head these episodes where they're walking through the snow, and I'm like, you're going to die. Don't go to work. God forbid.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, right now it was 31 below with the wind chill. I think the actual temp it said was zero. But this wind chill is what just kills us, and it's raw. It's very raw. And so, yeah, we'll see. Our school was 2 hours late, and they went on.
Oh, wow.
We're tough and hardy out here, you know.
Well, when Miss Beetle let them go early, we had a death.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But progress.
And we had a few years ago where we had such a storm come up that the students stayed in town. Majority of them stayed and slept at the school. Others went to local homes that were just within blocks of the school as well.
That's the beauty of a small town. So it does happen still. Well, it's the beauty of a small town, too, you know.
Yes.
You could trust people. You know, you know who your neighbors specifically are, and, you know who to trust.
Yep.
Just not Harriet. Yeah.
No.
Now, yeah, I'm supposed to speak to Dean Butler in about a week or two. So he was nice enough he's going to come on here and we'll talk about all the stuff he does. And do you have a favorite episode of Little House? And do you have a favorite book from Lauren?
Favorite book, of course, is On the Banks of Plum Creek.
Mm-hmm.
That's about my hometown.
That makes sense, yeah.
And the things that it talks about you can see and you can find still here in Walnut Grove. And peace and tranquility of Plum Creek, I just love. So that's my favorite book. TV series episode, I really don't.
The blizzard today?
There's so many parts. No. Get tired of those easy.
Yeah.
Any summer scenes are great.
Good. But, yeah. I mean, there's so many. It's like a decade worth of episodes. But so what's in the future of the museum? Are there any projects that are in front of you that you're looking to get into? I know that you guys just acquired the fiddle and you're getting ready for a display of that, which might be what's in front of you. You know, it's a pretty cool
convention.
Yeah, that's
a lot of it right now.
Right.
Building-wise and things is getting the master store and hall refurbished. So visitors can go in there. It'll be a general store on the main level, meeting room upstairs with displays that you can see as well. There'll be a little front porch upstairs that you can stand on and take pictures of the museum across the street. So that's my real goal, too, is to get that up and running.
Are you going to call it a general store or a mercantile?
Well, it'll be Master Store and Hall. That was the name that it had back then.
All right. Then
Store and Hall. But it'll be like a mercantile general store inside, because that's what the Masters family had at that time. So, yeah, and for me, it's a special building. My great aunt and uncle lived there for over 30 years, I believe, and so I've been in the building many times over those years. And now for the museum to acquire it is just even that more special that my family can still go into it and see it, and a lot of memories there.
Now, poking around the online store, I came across a couple of pretty cool things. So you can actually buy stuff and have it shipped to you, right?
Oh, definitely. We ship worldwide all the time. A lot of items are locally handcrafted. Our aprons and bonnets and dolls are made by local ladies. I always say the bonnets are made by local grandmas, and it's true. And, we sell at least 800 bonnets usually every year. Which you're talking handcrafted by 2 to 3 ladies, that's a lot of bonnets.
That's really sweet, though. I mean, it's really, just to have that hand-touched thing. For instance, we travel to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and these quilts, you probably have similar type of crafts and everything. This stuff, I mean, the fine detail that some of these are done, I mean, to stitch it by hand or even with a machine, it takes effort. And, I really love the fact that you guys are doing that. There are two items that I want to definitely check out. The Maz Shepherdess.
Yes.
And the, a slate and pencil just looks kind of cool. So I think I'm going to treat myself to couple things. Yeah.
No, the slates are awesome too, because again, they showed it in the TV series. Laura writes about having to go to town and buy a slate and a slate pencil. Again, any of our early pioneers, that's what they were using at one point in time. That's all they had. We sell hundreds of slates every year as well, too. Tin Cups is another huge one that everybody loves and remembers from the show. But yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. And the shepherdess too, you know, Laura talks about in the book, Ma always had that shepherdess. It was the last thing to put up when they moved in to a new location. And the one that we have is based on the TV series right now. So it looks like the one on the mantle of the TV series.
It really does. Yeah.
So we just got those in again last year.
I don't know if I mentioned the exact website, which is stupid of me, walnutgrove.org, but I'm going to put a link to not only, you know, that, but I'll put direct links to the store, to all of these other things that we talked about, but especially a spot where people can donate to the Laura Ingalls Wilder Museum. And, you know, I just think it would be a worthwhile investment, you know, even if, you know, it's a one-time donation or something. You know, it's money going towards something that, if you're listening to this podcast anyway, you know, it's something you love.
Yeah.
So,
no, that'd worthwhile. Be wonderful because... You know, it's something we're sharing with everybody, and that's what it's for. The museum is for everyone.
Right.
And again, this summer is going to be so fun with the cast and crew back again. And I've been lucky enough to work with them now for several years and get to meet them and make friendships over the years, which is good too.
And this is the 45th anniversary, so that makes it even, you know,
crazy.
And I'm
45 years,
and that makes
possible.
Me feel old.
But me too.
Oh,
I'm
you're
45? Right there with you.
Nice. So, all right, we experienced the Lost in the Prairie you probably experienced it a little bit sooner because of your location. But, I didn't have the nerve to, you know, experience it until I was maybe 11.
Okay.
You know, but nonetheless, you know, all right, so we're the same generation. We understand what Little House in the Prairie is.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Well,
yep.
Well, Amy, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I hope
well,
that.
Thank you for contacting me.
Yeah,
great.
Are you kidding me? I couldn't believe that you responded, and I was like, no way. And I told everyone, and everybody's really psyched about it. Who did I speak to? I spoke to Lucy Lee Flippin, who I mentioned it to, and she's like, oh, that's so nice. And she was talking about her experience being there and how nice everybody is there.
Well, good. Minnesota Nice is working still. That's good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I haven't spoken to anybody who really has a bad thing to say about anyone. Not that I'm pushing for it. It's just sometimes you get a little bit of like, well, you know, no, so far everybody seems to have a genuine love for each other and the legacy.
It is. Laura's special. She's special to all of us for certain different reasons. And that's why she exists as well, too. Every little girl I knew wanted to be like her. Now, as I grew up going, oh, my gosh, I never would have survived like her. But you just have that much more appreciation for her and her family. And, it's fun. I like history. I like memories. That's why it works well here.
And, are there any other, are there any winter events or anything like that? Or is the summer event really the Lollapalooza of it?
Yeah, summer event is our big things right now. Of course, we have Laura's birthday coming up on the 7th of February.
Oh, that's my birthday. How come I didn't know that we had the same birthday?
What?
Yeah, exact birthday.
Yes.
I'll be 46.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, we go to the school here in town and visit with the students and throw a little Laura birthday party and do some pioneer crafts and have cake, of course. And
awesome.
It's just too cold and with our weather, you never know if you're having a storm today or tomorrow or in the next half hour.
But it can be ice cream cake. You don't have to worry about it.
That would work too. Well, yeah. But there's also been some days where it could be, you know, 50 degrees. So then, you know, that doesn't work either.
Yeah.
But it's Minnesota. You blink and there's another season in front of you. That's part of the fun of Minnesota.
Well, it was really lovely speaking with you, Amy. And if there's ever a time you want to come back on, even if you want to speak a couple weeks before the reunion and just kind of, you know, or anything, even if you just want to come on and talk about any updates or just kind of pop on and, you know, just talk.
I would love to, especially once we have our names and everything of who's going to be coming this summer. I would love to visit again and need to get you here and look for me. Anybody that comes, tell me, you know, hey, I heard you on the podcast, Amy, and I'm usually here.
There's some loud, obnoxious guy asking for you, Amy. Said something like he knows you really well.
I'll be going, oh my gosh, it's got to be Mark.
Hey, I brought you pizza from New York.
Yay!
but seriously, Amy, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. And I wish you good health in this bad weather. But I'm sure you'll be fine.
Get out of the way, old man Tucker. You're too late. Get your supper. Get out of the way, old man Tucker. You're too late. Get your supper. Supper. Get out the way, old man Tucker. You're too late. Get your supper. Yeah.